Good evening, everyone. It's the Swing Jazz and Blues Show here on CKMS Radio 100.3, CKMS Radio, Kitchener-Waterloo, your best local community radio station. It's your host, Jeff Steger. My pleasure to be your host tonight for the Swing Jazz and Blues Show. And I just want to say a big hello to my special guest tonight, Greg. How are you tonight?
Good, you?
I'm just so good. My name would be Nat Persaud if I was anybody else. He's the physicist who does that great hip hop show before we come on the air. And Greg, I'm just so glad you come out tonight. Boy, what a great you've done some great preparation on your topic tonight. And I think what we'll do is we'll play a song, and you very kindly brought along some music that you like, and you can tell us why you like this song so much as a swing dancer.
The Bare Necessities is one of my favorites. It's out of the Jungle Book. Mm-hmm. And I just love the deep vocals in it, you know, when Baloo comes out and sings, and it's just a really funny scene. I'm not sure the version we do at Swing Dancing, but I just love the Disney swing songs.
Yeah, that's so good. Do you remember where you first heard this version? Like, were you at Swing Dance and heard the other version of it and thought, I'll find another version? Or?
Well, when I first heard it, I was watching The Jungle Book with my dad.
Yeah.
And that was like way back when, I think it was 10 or something. But I first heard the swing version when I was at the studio, and it had like this fanfare ending. And it was just, it was kind of awkward to try and find where it was ending so I could finish it with a dip.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I managed to do it.
All right, let's listen to the Louis Armstrong's version of The Bare Necessities. We'll be right back.
Necessities, simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, Mother Nature's recipe. Bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be founder of my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. You look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. Look for necessities, simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just bare necessities of life. So just relax, yeah, in my backyard. If you act like that, be act. You're working too hard. Don't spend your time just looking around for something you want can't be found. You'll find out you can live without it and go along not thinking about it. It tells you something true. The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. They'll come to you. To you. Oh, yes.
Hi, this is Martin Hansen from Waterloo, and you're listening to the Sweet, Sweet Swing and Blues Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
That's a fun song, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoyed hearing it too, I guess, once you said you had not heard the whole thing all the way through.
I love it.
I know. So tell us, how did you get involved in the swing dance? It's always a great story, talking to members of the Swing Dance Society, if you get a chance to talk to them, and say, you know, boy, was it a friend invited you out? Did you see it at did you see the dancers at a you know, jazz festival or something? How did you see everybody swing dancing?
Well, I went to a Bible college in town, Emmanuel Bible College, and they had something called a Kaylee. And Turlock was leading it.
Turlock.
And a friend of mine, her name's Erica, she's in the counseling program with me. And she approached him, and I guess he told her about swing dancing. And she started going, and she thought that it was, she thought it was amazing. And she was telling everybody, you know, exactly like I did when I first joined up with swing dancing. I ended up telling anybody and everybody who would listen. And when I first heard that she was going out swing dancing, I was like, what is that and
what
why?
Is that?
Yeah. And, you know, I remember it was a Monday night in October, and I was like, you know what, I might as well try it. I think I had just seen, like, Yes Man starring Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And I was in that mood of, like, try anything and everything. So, also tried sushi. Not a big fan.
You know, I think it's a great story because, you know, so many fun things in life are that. It says, I'll just try that.
And, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I remember just panicking because I wasn't sure what I should wear.
Mm-hmm.
So I wore, like, beige dress pants with a white turtleneck sweater and blue suspenders, mm-hmm. and, like, shoes that were more boots than shoes.
Okay.
So this was back when we were over at the Button Factory. And so I climb up the sets of stairs, and they had Turlock and Julianne were leading the lesson. And they split us up, you know, guys on one side, girls on the other, and they start teaching us the Charleston basics. Now, I'm going to let you know right now, Charleston, for like a good long while, was the bane of my existence.
The bane.
The
total
bane.
Bane.
Every time I danced to Charleston, something went wrong. And it got kind of really funny. Like the one time, I think I ended up ripping my pants in Toronto.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was the seam down at the bottom, so I was able to, like, trim it off.
So you had a good start with swing dance. That's a good story. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
And, that, you know, I tell our listeners, too, that you've really stepped up and done a lot with swing dancing here. Boy, we're so lucky to have people like yourself who help to organize things, you man the door for attendance, and also help with the technical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, how many different things are you doing with swing dance? Are you instructing at this stage or not, or have you done that there?
It's something that I'd like to try my hand
yes.
at.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm more specialized at setting up with sound and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll set up, like, mics, and I'll welcome the bands and make sure that they're getting up and running while Dave is instructing.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, if we need someone on the door shift, I'll jump in and do that. Sometimes at the end of the night, everyone's tired and no one really wants to do cleanup, so I'll just jump on the broom, you know, give it a quick, give the floor a quick once over, because honestly, it's everybody pitching in together to try and build the community.
It's true. And, you know, people like yourself and all kinds of people who are doing that in all kinds of different ways, we're really lucky to have that going on, and it's so much fun. And I see now you're have you been to exchange yet? You've been to exchange, and you go to Toronto, like, I think, once in a while with those guys, eh?
Yeah, I've been to Toronto and Hamilton a couple times,
yeah.
Which if you would have told me about this time last year that I'd be, you know, traveling to Toronto and Hamilton, and actually in November, it was my first time being down in the States and going down to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt really bad because I went with Dave, Julianne, and Amanda, and I was like, oh my goodness, look, an American tree. I've never seen an American tree before. Or like, oh my goodness, a stop sign in miles per hour. And,
well, you know what? If you think you've had fun now, just wait till we talk in 3 or 4 years. You're going to knock your socks off. You're going to have so much fun with swing dancing. Oh, jeepers.
I can believe that.
Yeah. Well, that's a good story. We'll talk some more about those beginning things as we move into tonight's topic. And I asked Greg to do me a favor here and talk a little bit about swing dancing from his expertise, and that's his with his. Are you you're a Bible a student of a Bible college, and you're preaching on occasion now, I believe.
Right now I'm actually at seminary.
Yes.
I graduated Bible college a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And, you know, off and on, like this past summer, I got a chance to preach at my church, and
I downloaded that. It was really good.
Oh, good. Yeah. Right now, I'm working with a chaplain of a youth prison just outside town, and you know, doing Bible studies with those guys. And yeah. I like to base the episodes on Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll watch an episode of The Simpsons, and then we'll like take a meaning out of it. Because I spent my childhood watching The Simpsons.
You know, it's funny you're in prison chaplaincy, because a friend of mine who's hopefully listening tonight out there in Roseville, that's what he did at the end of his career. Now he's retired. He was a prison chaplain. So, and I know it's quite a challenge sometimes if you run your Sunday morning worship and no one shows up, and you're there because that's what you believe in, that's what you promised to do. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... I guess just to tell our listeners, what we're going to talk about tonight is it occurred to me when I was looking over possible ideas for the show that there was, I remember vaguely, there was, if you went into Google and typed in the word dance and searched the Bible, you would end up with 13 different verses or situations where it was used.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea intrigued Greg, thankfully, and he's put together some thoughts on what he's learned about dance and the pros and cons. And I don't want to take away any of his thunder, but you've done such a great job here of putting down your thoughts, and I think we'll put it on the website.
Oh,
but,
thanks.
I love it right off the bat, and I put this on our posting tonight on the Hepcat Hoppers Facebook page, that even though as you, without reading it all, but basically part of your schooling was that, you know, dancing wasn't quite top the list of things a person ought to do. I love that you point out that if you thought it impeded your ability to serve God, then you would walk out of that studio and never look back. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just looking forward to hearing some more of that. If you want to tell us a little bit more about, we can start into this and then we'll take a little break later on. But please, go ahead.
Well, I grew up in the Lutheran denomination. I went to St. Peter's in downtown Kitchener. And there's not a lot of dancing there.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think I've ever heard dance even uttered there, except in the psalm, you know. And then I started going to a Pentecostal church, and they're not really pro dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And I still attend a Pentecostal church to this day, but I started going to an Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada Bible College, Emmanuel Bible College over on Fergus, right off of Weber.
Yep. Yeah.
And right now I'm attending Heritage Seminary out in Cambridge, and EBC and Heritage both have in their student handbooks, they have a no dance policy.
Yeah,
but it's less dancing, and you know, they say no clubbing, and they strongly suggest that students don't go dancing. Now I don't agree, and typically when I don't agree, I'll disobey. You know, just ask my parents.
Okay. I'll maybe ask them someday.
And I just felt a need to explore.
Hmm.
I decided to go out one Monday night, and I found that it was fantastic. And I thought, you know, dancing was very salacious, but after trying swing dancing, I was like, wow, this is like really innocent.
Yes, it's a great fun. It is, yeah.
And so they're not really supportive of swing dancing, or they're not really supportive of dancing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've told my professors, you know, I go out swing dancing. Actually, I found out that one of my professors, I won't tell you which one, actually used to be a Lindy Hopper. Down in St. Catharines.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that was like, whoa, you're one of us. So there are a number of objections against dancing from the Christian community.
Mm-hmm.
And basically all of them revolve around sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, the appearance of sexual immorality, you know, stoking up the fires, and just basically, you know, that whole bumping and grinding thing. I don't go to club scenes,
yeah.
But you know, I mean, everybody's seen it, where you know the guy will grind on a girl, and it's like, wow, that's really, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just watch TV, and every series seems to have a bar scene somewhere, and it's just outrageous craziness going on. And that's certainly what the popular image is of dancing, if, in a nutshell, I suppose.
Yeah. And that's not what I'm here to defend tonight.
Right.
I think that swing dancing is good, clean fun. I thought, now I went to a Bible college where public displays of affection were taboo.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, for a long time, I viewed it as a bit more of a monastery than a Bible college, just because, you know, you're taking a vow of poverty, you're taking a vow of chastity. We actually had separate dorms for guys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever the guys would go, you know, the guys would be able to go up on the girls' dorms and vice versa on, like, Wednesday afternoons, because we didn't have class Wednesdays. And you'd have to go up, and you'd have to, you know, go man on the floor or boy on the floor, you know. So you'd say man on the floor, and the person in 4A kept, you know, yelling back, you know, you're not a man, stop saying that.
Sounds like y'all had pretty good fun with that one.
Oh, yeah.
So you set a really good backdrop for what you're going to tell us tonight. And I'm just wondering whether we should maybe play another song, and then we'll get into some of the more interesting bits and facts and figures that you've learned about in your studies and your opinions on it. And so we'll stop for a bit and play a song. And tell us the next song. It's a Gordon Webster tune, I see.
Yeah. So when I went down to Pittsburgh back in November, we actually heard Gordon Webster play, and I was like, oh, man, this is really cool. Apparently, we had Gordon Webster here last year, but
yeah,
I guess it was one of the Monday nights that I missed. And so this one is called Sermonette, because it's just a really neat song about, you know, loving one another. And it's just some of, like, the Christian that can be put into swing dancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, let's play that song. And we'll be back to talk to Greg. He's your host, Jeff Steger, at the Swing Jazz and Blues Show. And tonight is episode number 79, and it's Thursday, January the 3rd, 2013, already.
Wow.
We'll be back in a moment.
So to have no regrets and Hey there, this is Ann Siktosh from the UW Swing Club, and you're listening to the Swing and Blues Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
Every Monday night at Hepcats, the joyful sounds of swing, jazz, and blues music is played by local live bands or DJs. They will keep you dancing all night long starting at 9 p.m. Enjoy an introductory dance lesson starting at 8:30 p.m. included in the cover price. Hepcats is located at 42 Herb Street East, Waterloo. Please use the side door entrance. For more information, visit www.hepcathoppers.ca.
Shady Nook Farms, raising all-natural cattle with care. Are your local food source for beef? We have whole sides, half sides, hamburger, and summer sausage, and freezer packs. Locally raised and prepared, visit our website at shadynook.ca.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
It's the Swing Jazz and Blues Show. It's the episode number 79, and it's Thursday, January 3rd. And your host, Jeff Steger, and my special guest tonight is Greg Nash.
Thank you,
Greg, and thanks for that introduction of how you got into swing dancing, and helping us set up our little short discussion tonight about swing dancing and religious interpretations and views on it. I'm looking forward to yours, and I just maybe ask you to maybe go through some of these Bible quotes here from what would help us guide, like show our listeners how you interpret those things, and so you'd be so kind.
Well, I gave this some serious thought because, for me to maintain my integrity mm-hmm. when swing dancing, I have to take a serious look, and I have to make sure that I'm above reproach because I'm seriously looking at being a Christian leader. And for me to have higher standards and make sure that, nobody can turn around and say, hey, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's a bit of a dichotomy within the New Testament and the Old Testament. Within the Old Testament, you have more texts that have dancing as a celebration. We're going to get into that in the next section.
Great.
But there are about five coherent arguments that all have to do with sexual immorality in dancing.
Okay.
Now, there are other reasons against swing dancing. I was reading this this text that must have been from a couple centuries ago, and it was saying that it's criminal to spend money and time on learning how to dance when it could be better put to better use.
Oh, that's so sad.
And it was it was one of the texts written during the Puritan days.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, I can understand that, but that's why I volunteer at the studio, so I don't end up paying, the cover to dance Monday nights. So, there are a couple of Bible verses, and I'll read them to you right now. So Ephesians 5, verse 3 says that among you there shouldn't be even a hint of sexual immorality among God's people. That's a pretty standard one. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. This is the King James Version, says that it is good for a man not to touch a woman. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, states, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Corinthians 10, 32, tells us that we shouldn't cause anyone to sin by what we do. And 1 Timothy 5, 2 says we should treat older women as mothers and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Now, I want you to take specific note that none of these verses explicitly forbid dancing.
Okay.
In fact, you wouldn't find that anywhere in the Bible. But it can through the implications. Being both a dancer and a seminary student, one of my goals is to avoid the appearance of sexual immorality in any situation while maintaining integrity in dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Paul was writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5:3, but among you there shouldn't be a hint of sexual immorality. Paul was writing to the Ephesians telling them that they should appear blameless to the others to others outside the church and to keep the integrity of the gospel. Now, if you go back to like Old Testament law, a lot of what the laws were, like, you know, don't get any tattoos, or, you know, don't wear a shirt with, you know, made out of two fabrics. They were laws written to separate the Israelites from the rest of the nations, and they were saying, you know, hey, these are God's special people, so we're going to look like we're unique. Now, in Ephesus, Paul was saying, you know, there can't be any hints. Like, if there can't be any suspicions. When the Gentiles or the Greeks or the Romans look at you, it can't even cross their minds that, you know, hey, buddy is having an affair, or like, you know, man, wow, he is like checking that girl out.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they didn't use that vernacular back in the first century. But basically, I'll let you in on a little bit of the culture.
Okay.
Back in those days, it was expected of a Greek man to have a young male with him who he would sort of give practical lessons in sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, The Greeks were a little bit more free with their sexual nature. They had temples to Aphrodite, where they would have temple prostitutes. That was more in Corinth. And so Paul said, you know what? Jesus teaches that, you know, you shouldn't even, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to avoid that, and to make sure that, you know, this is the gospel that frees us from sin and death, that we shouldn't, that there shouldn't be even a hint. Because that's... you don't want to invalidate the word of the gospel. And you want to live like it's the most important thing in your life. Because
mm-hmm.
it's the word of the free, you know. Gospel comes from, you know, good news.
So, as you correctly point out, and I agree with that, it appears that, in fact, there's not a prohibition against dance. It's just what it may... be part of not it's by inference, not by not directly dance.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you know, when I'm out dancing, I'll have pictures taken of me, or someone will like capture me on their video phone, and it gets posted to my Facebook wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I have people from my church on my Facebook, and they can look over my photos at any time. And if I'm in a compromising position, or something that looks, you know, hey, I welcome them to pull me aside and say, hey, you know, that kind of looks really suggestive. Or, you know, I have pastors on my Facebook as well, and they think that it's great that, you know, I'm out swing dancing, and I cannot take a straight picture for the life of me. So I always have, like, my tongue stuck out, or, like, my face in just this weird weird pose or something. And it's just, swing dancing is silly. It's something really fun.
It is. Yeah.
And it's not meant to be, well, I don't think it's meant to be sexual. And that's why I welcome, you know, church people to look at what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have problems, to approach me on it, because, you know, I'm accountable to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I especially like your, I don't get too far ahead of it, but I like the way you finished off your thing here, that you're the guy on the dance floor with wearing the fedora, which you are tonight, a dress shy and a dress shirt and a tie, which you were doing tonight, and just come on up, and you're down for discussions.
So, oh, yeah.
I don't want to take away the thunder from that, but I just thought that was fun to mention to our listeners here.
Well, you know, it's had a bit of a lull between semesters, and this gave me some amusing to look at.
Well, it would be. I know you've been pretty busy finishing up some studies. I know you've been posting on Facebook about them. It's such a huge number of exams and things you've been doing. My word.
Yeah. So, now,
yeah, carry on with that. I like how you were going to finish off this section here. I'm assuming you're going into talking about some of the particular dances that we're doing, or do you want to continue on with that line of thought you had there?
Oh, I was just going to touch on 1 Corinthians 7:1. It's good for a man not to touch a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was... I took a really close look at this when I started dating.
Oh, yeah, I see this one. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, because it's like, well, can would it be, you know, disobeying God's word if I were to like put my hand on her shoulder?
Mm.
And the Greek word actually can also mean have sexual relations. Now, almost everywhere else this Greek word is used in the Bible, it means actually touching. It's the same word that's used when the woman with the hemorrhage goes up and touched the hem of Jesus' robe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suffice to say, that wouldn't be sexual relations. But outside of biblical literature, this word is also translated as sexual relations.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, only the King James and the American Standard Version translate it as to touch a woman. He's telling the people at Corinth that it's good to be abstinent, but if it poses a problem, because it's, again, you have to look at each verse in its proper context. You know, he says it's good for a man not to touch it's good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, but if you really can't abstain, go get married, because
mm-hmm.
it's better to marry than to burn with passion.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting one that I took a look at, and when I found out that, you know, it was more accurately translated as sexual relations, I was like, yes, that means that I can, you know, hug my girlfriend, or I can give her a high five without being in danger of hellfire and damnation.
Well, you know, I like your story because, you know, unless people hear that thing and make their own decision on what it means, what you've done through your studies,
yeah,
you can really, that stuff can be really tough to at first glance, and oh my gosh, yeah.
Well, it's important to seriously stand by your convictions mm-hmm. in your faith. Because
yeah.
I can take what I'm taught and I can stand on it, but the moment that it's questioned, it can crumble away unless I actually go and I study these things for myself and I go, okay, this is the standard that I want to have. And mm-hmm. especially going in, you know, being someone who's studying for ministry,
mm-hmm.
I want to have really godly standards and just make sure that these are standards that... aren't going to cause anyone to sin by what I do.
And on the other side of the coin, these are standards that allow a person to have fun, which certainly in God's fundamental belief, I think.
Yeah.
And I know you'll touch on that maybe in the last section, talking about the New Testament interpretation, but let's not get ahead of things anyway.
Well, I mean, God gave us endorphins, and you know, God gave us the ability to smile and have fun and enjoy life, and
yeah.
You know, he's a... The Bible clearly says he's a good father and he wants us to enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee the desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord of the pure heart. For this one, Paul's writing to Timothy, a young gentleman with leadership aspirations, and he says, you know, flee from the sexual desires of youth. Now, In the next section, you have a bit of a juxtaposition. Instead, Paul encourages Timothy to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Now, this verse is not two separate ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's one complete thought. So if you can imagine Timothy turning from the sexual desires of youth to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Now, I've never run out of partner in the middle of a dance. Be like, oh, no, sorry, getting too, you know, excited here, and just, like, run out and ran to Bible study. I don't think that swing dancing is derailing me from my calling.
Yeah, there's great permissions here as well as restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For 1 Corinthians 10:32, we shouldn't sin... We shouldn't cause anyone to sin by our example. Typically, Paul is just talking about eating meat. And, well, he says, you know, I still subject myself to dietary laws of the Jews because I don't want them to sin because of my convictions. And it's working with other people's convictions. And, I'm completely transparent, and that's something that I seriously strive for as a Christian. And I tell everybody that I run across that I'm a swing dancer.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I just did a swing dance performance for Waterloo Pentecostal's Christmas production.
Well, all right.
And I there are pastors there who know that I'm a swing dance fanatic. And I don't think I've ever had anyone sin because, or like anyone seriously stumble in their faith or, you know, call out to God and question, you know, why is Greg a swing dancer? You know, he was so good. You know, he was such a good monk back in, you know, the days of Bible college, and then he just, you know, got involved with swing dancing and fell away. It's actually quite to the contrary. Being a swing dancer has actually helped me open up some interesting conversations about faith.
Mm-hmm.
One of my first times I went up to Toronto, I got into this bit of a heated debate with this woman who believed that we should, as Christians, we shouldn't use the Old Testament anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I turned around and I asked her, you know, here's a fun thing. Can you list the Ten Commandments? She goes, well, I don't need to. I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, I have, you know, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself and love God first. You know, all the law and the prophets rest on that. So you don't need the Old Testament. You don't need the law. You don't need the prophets or anything to that effect. And I looked at her and I was like, yes, you do. Because basically the New Testament rests on the foundation of the Old Testament, and is just one of the interesting discussions that I had.
I betcha. So listen, we're about a quarter to the hour here, and we're not going to cover everything tonight. I see we're going to have to come back and do some more. let's play another song here and regroup our forces here a bit. And this next one is Lavender Coffin by Lionel Hampton. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
This one's just telling you about when I die, I want to be put in the lavender coffin, and you know, I love the verse because it's, you know, gives a good chance for some footwork when, you know, stomping to the beat.
Yeah.
Talking about Saint Peter, who's typically the guardian of the gates of the pearly gates.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great song. I know, as from a DJ perspective, it's a great bridge song in case you want to change the flow of the evening. And I see our other co-host, Dave Trin, has just walked in the door, and he probably can nod his head to that one. It's often used as a bridge. Okay, folks, it's the Swing Jazz and Blues Show. It's January 3rd, and this is episode number 79. It's Jeff Stir, your host, and my guest is Greg Nash. We'll be right back.
And the horses,
yes, 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 yes.
From Saratoga to Timbuktu.
Timbuktu.
And now that I'm running my last mile, honey,
what's going on?
Please make my wish come true. All I want is lavender coffin, white gardenias all around, swing bands playing the funeral march as they roll me into the holy. All I want is 11 sweet maidens. They're all singing that you got to be hip. Singing around my lavender coffin, swinging in the funeral step.
St. Peter,
I'm a coming.
St. Peter,
yes, I'm a coming today.
St. Peter,
yeah, I'm a coming. So open all the gates on my judgment day. Hear those angels solemnly sing it, and Gabriel blowing the funeral sound. That's all I want is my lavender coffin when they lower me into the holy ground.
St. Peter,
well, I'm a coming.
St. Peter,
woo! I'm a coming.
St. Peter,
hey, Peter, I ain't been bad. So open the gates on my judgment day.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Sean Brown, and you are listening to the Swing, Jazz, and Blues Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
We're back, folks, and that was Sean Brown doing a little promo for us. And in our second half of our show, I see Ali Rajabi is here, and we'll talk about West Coast Swing, and that's Sean Brown quite associated with that. So welcome back, Greg. Let's talk some more about the Bible and swing dancing. It looks like we can find things both ways the other. You've analyzed and described a few important phrases in there. Please go ahead.
All right. Well, the last Bible verse is 1 Timothy 5:2, that we should treat elder women as mothers and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Now, for those of you who don't know what swing dancing looks like, the pelvic areas are not in contact, or at least they're not supposed to be. It's not a grind on the dance floor. Closed positions, the main points of contact in closed positions are the right hand of the lead is on the shoulder, the left shoulder blade of the follow.
Yeah.
And the left arm of the follow is on top of the lead's arm, sometimes up to the shoulder. It depends on the varying heights. And then the left hand of the lead comes up, and the right hand of the follow is placed in the left hand of the lead, and it looks like, you know, a nice little handhold.
Yes, this is all very comfortable. Looks lovely. Yeah.
And that's what it looks like for a six count, Lindy Hop, Charleston, and much of blues. Well, actually, there's with Charleston, it's a little bit more open, but they form a V. Now, I wouldn't be transparent if I didn't mention Balboa. It's typically a chest to chest connection where the pelvic areas are separate. It was basically developed in a crowded dance room where there wasn't much room to swing out safely. Now, I've learned the basic pattern, and Balboa dance is typically done to faster songs. And all I can say is that each person has to decide what they're comfortable in doing in swing. Our scene leader, Amanda, encourages people to speak up in regards to their comfort zone. And I say if it's a problem and you can't do it with a clear conscience, no one's forcing you to do it. If a leader leads it and as a follow you don't like it, you have every right to speak up. I tend not to on the social floor, but that's because I don't feel comfortable with it yet. I'm not the only Christian on the dance scene, and I dance with other Christians, and I've taken the role of follow and dance with other guys. But mainly this pertains to the women I dance with. I've never had any of them pull aside and, you know, pull me aside and say, you know, that blues hold was a little too close, or I feel disrespected because of how close we were dancing or what you know, some of the stuff that you pulled.
Maybe there's someone who would say, I like that blues hold to be closer.
Yeah.
What would you do then?
I have a bit of a personal space thing. Like,
yeah,
I,
that's good. That's okay.
There's sometimes where I enjoy a closer blues hold, yes, and sometimes where I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I'll lead like a swing out, or I'll go out into open position if I feel like it's getting a little close.
Mm-hmm. But you know that's everyone does that, and that's good to know. And we want our listeners to know that when the whole point of our dance is that you have fun and you be comfortable, and that is okay.
Yeah, typically blues has a tighter hold and it's much slower. And I could come up with a million different defenses to this. Like I've danced with guys, or it's like giving someone a hug and just rocking back and forth to the beat. I've had close blues dances in the past, and in writing this, I've actually been forced to look at my standards and make sure that I'm upholding godly standards in my dancing. And what it comes down to this is with any activity at all, like with archery or bowling or with anything, there's a potential for sexual thoughts and ogling others. I have Christian friends who I trust will keep me accountable. And the girls there will tell me if they're uncomfortable or if I'm leading too tightly. I also have my own conscience, and I know what God's word says about sexual immorality and dancing. For me, it comes down to whether or not this is negatively impacting my walk with God. You know, you've said it twice tonight, and I often say to myself,
mm-hmm,
and I say to God that if anything ever gets in the way, you know, swing gets in my way of serving Him, I will leave it in the dust and I'll never look back, because that's how important my spiritual walk is.
Mm.
You'd be really hard pressed to find anything immoral with six count, Lindy Hop, or Charleston. I've even danced it with my own mother, the mothers of friends, even with daughters in front of their fathers. Now, let me tell you, if if someone was either, you know, ever dancing really salaciously or in a sexual manner with my daughter in front of me, I'd probably start flying with the fists. But most parents, you know, most parents enjoy it. They'll you know, take a picture, or I've had them film it. Actually, this past year, I went to a friend's wedding, and I danced with her sister in front of her Christian parents, and they thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
They actually, we went on a date later, and we went back to her place, and they actually filmed us dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, later that night, we went out to a blues party, and I actually asked her parents' permission to escort her out. Now, I should mention she's 21, but we would be out to like 4 in the morning at a blues dance at Kevin's place. And when I'm dancing, I take it upon myself to treat younger women with all purity, because it might be my daughter or mother or wife that someone is dancing with, and I want them to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, shifting from the New Testament to the Old Testament, dance was a common component of ancient Jewish life, both social and liturgical, you know, like a worship style. It appears and reappears throughout the Bible texts, or throughout biblical texts. It appears in the Psalms and the poetry as a way of worshiping God. You know, Psalm 150, verse 4 says, "Praise him with tambourine and dancing." It appears when God's nation celebrates, when Miriam was escorting the people out of Egypt. You know, in the Mass Exodus and the Moses story, they were dancing. It appears in the courts of rulers and the stories of David. Now, I noticed you sent me this text.
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah. You know, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven.
And this this is a great interrupt, but this is as common nowadays at many wedding ceremonies even. It's a very, very good part of the Bible, and it has a part we're going to talk about. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
I think it's also a song by the by a famous group.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What am I thinking? That's right. I bet you Dave knows who that is. What's a... Anyway, we'll pick on his brain a bit. Maybe we'll give him a half hook up alley over here in a second.
So, a time to be born and a time to die, mm-hmm. a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Now, a time to mourn and a time to dance.
Uh-huh.
This is actually a really... Like, I just spent this past semester studying this kind of this setup in Hebrew text, and it's contrasting all these ideas.
Okay.
So it's a time to mourn and time to dance. Now, typically you don't celebrate when you mourn. Dancing was a way of celebrating. God freed the people from centuries of slavery. They danced in worship. David was successful from delivering the people from the enemies of God. And the people danced. Our culture tends to stick dancing with weddings because it's a celebration of two people becoming one. Now, you may say, okay, so what reason do we have to celebrate? You know, why should we celebrate now? The economy's collapsing. Well, it's not quite collapsing, but...
No, but it's not as good as it could be.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. You know, some people may be out of a job, credit's building up, you know what? Sometimes you just gotta like get out there and, you know, we have a ray of hope and go volunteer with them, serve a meal. You know, what reason do you have to mourn? Is basically my response to the question, what reason do I have to celebrate? We're just coming out of Christmas and New Year's. And, for me, you know, Jesus came to save people and reunite us to God. So I celebrate that when I dance. You know, historically, the first Christmas in 312 AD ended 200 plus years of brutal, brutal persecution for the Christians. You're alive. We live in a country where you have an opinion and a job and a vote, and you have a say in how your country's run. We are in the upper echelon of the world. You have riches only other people can dream of. Now, there are people out there who suffer from depression and other problems. In fact, you know, I've had depression and anxiety, and sometimes you just can't get away with it. And I'm not going to suggest that their problems aren't real. But getting into swing dancing really helped me keep my joy in life through the tough seasons, and it helped me get over some of the social anxieties. You know, maybe you're listening to this and you're feeling down and out. Studies actually suggest that the third Monday in January is the most depressing time of the year because the bills are stacking in, the snow becomes burdensome, and you know, you're getting cabin fever, and you know, you're starting to, you typically drop your New Year's resolutions around the third Monday. It's a sucky time of the year.
Yeah.
You know, you're going back to work, but don't give up. This past year of swing dancing has taught me that there's still joy in life.
Yes.
And you only lose the battle when you refuse to get back up. Now, I have a song that I'm pretty sure I imported for you, and it's called The Sunny Side of the Street.
Yeah, actually, I just tuned that one up.
Awesome.
Okay.
So if you have two left feet, you know, celebrate the fact that you have feet and teach them to triple step. If you tap your feet to the beat or nod your head, that's moving to the music, and the next step is just to get your legs and your hips into the mix. Get up and move and feel the beat. And you know what? Swing dancing is meant to be silly. I mean, where else can you have pointing or acting like a chicken a legitimate dance move? And those are some of my favorite to pull out on the social floor. It's good for the brain. It's like taking up a new sport. It takes time before you really get good. You know, I tried taking up tennis this past year, and I'm still surprised when, you know, I return a volley and it actually stays inside that big, huge fence. Nevertheless, the court. Yeah. It takes time before you really get good, but you shouldn't let that discourage you. I'll have off days or times when I don't feel the beat, and everyone has their off days. You know, when we were still new, and it's all about having fun and doing what your brain is hardwired to do. If you still don't like it, at least you tried it. Now, if you still have theological issues, I'm always down for a discussion, so feel free to find me on the dance floor. I tend to wear a fedora, a dress shirt, and a tie.
Looking very good, too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You really grab the spirit of the dance, because when you dress up like that, that's great.
And, you know, I try to encourage everyone to, at least all the guys, to encourage them to wear a hat.
Yeah.
They used to be back in style until about the 1960s when JFK was inaugurated, and he didn't wear a hat when he was named president.
Oh, I thought that was the pivotal moment, was it?
Then? Yeah, and then it just went out of style for men. And, you know, some guys, you'll see it, they'll have, like, the newsboy caps or, like, the, you know, fedoras or like, bucket hats, you know.
Yeah.
Anything but a baseball cap, really. And It's a good feeling wearing a hat, you know, tipping your hat, and
yeah. That's a great styling when you're dancing.
Oh yeah, it's lots of fun.
You know, you honor your partner and doff the hat. And
well, even I'll even like take it off, try and pull a hat trick while, you know, I'll do a leader's turn.
Yeah.
So I'll turn underneath and I'll throw my hat up and try and catch it and put it back on.
Oh, that's pretty snazzy.
Yeah, sometimes you nail it and it looks amazing, and sometimes your hat ends up on the floor. And
you still have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's part of the point.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's play this song on the Sunny Side of the Street, and we'll transition over to the second half of our show. And before we do that, we'll maybe say a goodbyes to Greg after this song and introduce Ali Rajavi. Here's the song, The Sunny Side of the Street. It's CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM, the Swing Jazz and Blues Show, episode 79, January the 3rd.
Thank you. but leave your worries, leave them on the doorstep. Life's sweet, just direct your feet to the sunny, sunny side of the street. Hop, hop, a noon, that pitter-pat. You know that happy tune is my step. Life's all right if you dig that beat on the sunny, sunny side of the street. Used to walk in the shade with my blues on parade. What a fat old man getting stuck in the shade. Get hip, don't be afraid. Move it on over, keep yourself in the clover. Only hip for a cent, who cares? Richard Rockefeller can't be beat. Throw dust round my feet on the sunny, sunny side of the street.
Hi, this is Kristen O'Neill. I'm from Stratford, and you are listening to the Swing, Jazz, and Blues Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
Waterloo, Joe Hoffberg here. And you know what you're listening to? The Swing and Blues Radio Show on CKMS 100.3. Don't go anywhere, because something awesome's about to come your way. Blues!
Okay, thanks so much there, Greg, and I hope you'll come back again sometime and tell us some more about swing dancing. Your experiences is great. I'll put your information here up on the website when I podcast it tomorrow or the next day, and maybe we'll get a chance to get into this other piece of paper here. It's only some really great stories on there. So,
well, I'd like to thank you for having me. When you approached me a couple of weeks ago, I was just, you know, this would be really cool, and it's not often that I get to pull, you know, swing dancing and theology and what I do together and just talk about my experience in seminary and swing dancing and Christianity are topics that are really passionate to me. So, thank you.
Thanks for saying that. I am just as pleased that you came on the show. So it worked out really well, and we'll do this again, and we'll see you on the dance floor, and maybe hang around for a while, and we're going to do our second half of our show, and we'll talk a little about West Coast Swing, and